Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you once again. It's been a while, and I just want to personally thank Alex and the leadership for allowing me to come and share from God's holy word. I hope you, like me, have been enjoying the series that we just finished last week, How to Neighbor. Wasn't it exciting? Those lessons on what does it mean to be a neighbor? Those lessons on loving the lonely? And last week, embracing the orphans. It was a wonderful series. And if you didn't get it all, if you can get on YouTube and if they're still there, listen to it. It's worthwhile. Now, we're just starting a new series. It's going to be a series of six different lessons. And it's to do with men and women of the Bible who have gone through some troublesome times. And we're going to be talking about Joseph. And then we're going to be talking about Elijah, and we're going to talk about Hannah, Ruth, Paul, and Jesus Christ. Now, this week, we're going to be talking walking with God in the valley, and we're going to examine the life of Joseph. But before we do that, let's just close our eyes and bow our heads and ask God's blessing on this next 20 to 30 minutes. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just pray in the precious name of Jesus that you will illuminate us, that you will help us, and by the working of the Holy Spirit, that you will take this message and apply it to each and every one of our lives, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're just going to switch over now, and I'm going to share the message with you, and then after the message, I'll come back and close in a word of prayer and a few closing remarks. Thank you very much, and sit back, enjoy your cup of coffee, your tea, and get challenged by the Word of God. Walking with God in the valley. As we mentioned in our opening remarks, we're going to be talking about Joseph, and we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 37, chapter 39 to 50. And we're going to be talking about Joseph's betrayal, his imprisonment, and his forgiveness. So we're going to be talking about Joseph's journey. But we're going to take Joseph's journey and we're going to apply it to your journey and my journey. And we're going to make the comparison in some of the things that happened to Joseph that is happening to us today and trying to figure out how we can get through this pandemic. Yes, life is a journey. And the question I have for each and every one of you who are watching this morning, how is your journey going? How is your journey going? But first, let's talk about Joseph's journey. And it's a story we all have heard in Sunday school, but many of you maybe didn't have the privilege of going to Sunday school. And it's good to refresh our memories. And it's about Joseph's journey from Canaan all the way down to Egypt. Yes, Joseph had a father, and his name was Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was his 11th son, born to Jacob in his old age. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children. This caused, as you can imagine, the older brothers, to hate Joseph. They were jealous. And once when the older brothers were far away tending their sheep, Joseph was sent by Jacob to see how they were doing. And when the brothers saw Joseph coming, they conspired to kill him. One brother, Reuben, did not want Joseph to be killed. He persuaded the other brothers to sell him as a slave to a caravan who was on a trip going down to Egypt. The brothers told their father later that a wild beast had killed Joseph. Now, the verse is very important, and the topic is very important we're going to be talking about today. And the thing I would like to get across very specifically is, though no fault, through no fault of his own, Joseph ended up as a slave in the house of Potiphar, a wealthy Egyptian man, but God was with him. Notice,
Through no fault of his own, Joseph ended up as a slave in the house of Potiphar. Well, Potiphar's wife was a wicked person, and she tried to seduce Joseph. And when he fled from her presence, she was furious. She lied to her husband and told him that Joseph had tried to force her to have sex with him. Again, notice the phrase I'm using. Through no fault of his own, Joseph was sent to prison and put in chains, but God was with him. So Joseph had to go to prison. And sometime later, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had a dream that troubled him. His wise men couldn't tell him the meaning of the dream. The chief butler told Pharaoh that Joseph could interpret his dream. Pharaoh immediately called to Joseph. God revealed the meaning of Pharaoh's dream to Joseph. And Joseph told Pharaoh that it would be 7 years when the harvest of grain would be plentiful. Then there would be 7 years of famine, which they would have no crops. Joseph, very wisely, under the direction of God, suggested to Pharaoh that he seek and find a wise man to put over the land of Egypt to store the excess grain during the years of plenty, so that they would have food enough for the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh chose Joseph to be that man. Joseph was made the ruler of Egypt under Pharaoh. And as the story goes on and on and on, and later, we're going to be touching it quite in full, but later during the years of famine, Joseph's brother came to Egypt to find food. Joseph knew who they were, but they did not recognize him. And we're going to talk about the confession of the brothers. And we're going to talk about the repentance of the brothers. And we're going to talk about the forgiveness that Joseph showed towards his brothers. Yes, confession. God used Joseph to bring his brothers to confess and to repent of their sin. And the most exciting thing is forgiveness. Joseph freely forgave his brothers, and he sent some royal wagons to bring his father and all his household to Egypt. There, they were royally cared for by Joseph. Joseph is a picture of Christ. Joseph was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, but exalted in the far country. All of this was because of his being honored by God. Christ is, in a sense, our Joseph. Christ, too, was hated by his brethren, the Jewish people, and rejected in this world. But he has been exalted to the right hand of God in heaven. And one day he will come to take us with him forever. We can come into eternal blessing because of Jesus. He has forgiven us of our sins. It says in the Bible, if we forsake our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the question I have this morning, why did Joseph have to go through all this? Why? Through no fault of his own, Joseph was thrown into a pit, then sold to slavery. Through no fault of his own, Joseph was sent to prison and put into chains. Now, the question I have, was God chastising Joseph because he did something wrong? And when we think of Joseph's journey, I want to talk a little also about your journey. You know, Joseph's journey was a rough journey, and our journey is a rough journey. We are going through rough times right now. We are going through difficult times now. And I might ask the same question I asked about Joseph. Why do I have to go through this? Why do we as Cascades have to go through the pandemic? Why do we have so much fear today? Why are so many people have anxiety? The stress level is unprecedented. How about the increased use of tobacco? How about the alcohol and other substances? The liquor stores are overflowing with clients. How about economic devastation? Mental health is another big question today. Suicide, for instance. Thoughts and feelings are on the upgo. And I could give you all the different percentages, but you're hearing them every day. And I have them in front of me, but we won't go through them all. But it's just the huge amount of problems we have today. Yes, we could say caution, rough road. But you might say, but Ron, why? People are phoning me, friends of mine are phoning me saying, why? Why all this? Let's listen to Gloria to read a poem that is very precious to me.
You and I are the apple of God's eye. He treasures each of us, and that's no lie. He loves us so much that it nearly makes him burst. He gives us the strength to go on when things are going the worst. God is a big part of my life, and that makes me truly blessed. He will make your life wonderful because he is the best. If you're thinking about giving up, please remember that God believes in you. He knows that we are very special, and that's most certainly true.
Jacob loved Joseph. God loved Joseph, but Joseph went through all these trials. And God loves you and I. You know, the Bible says very distinctly that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. Well, God loves us too. And he gave us not a robe, he gave us his son to die for our sins. So why are we all troubled? Now, how can we get through this trouble? What are you going through? What am I going through? When we see why, as we look on how to get through this, we're going to see just three points, three very quick points. The first point.
If we allow Christ to rule in our life, we can get through these troublesome times.
Let Jesus take control of your life.
The more we put Christ in charge of our life, the more God will prosper us.
Yes, Joseph is a marvelous type of Jesus. And there are three lessons which God wants us to learn through Joseph's life. And the first one is, as Gloria just read, God prospers us when we allow Christ to rule in our life. When Pharaoh made Joseph ruler in Egypt, the country prospered. When Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house, Potiphar put him in charge and everything prospered. When he was in prison, the keeper of the prison put him in charge and again, everything prospered. When Pharaoh made Joseph ruler of all Egypt, the country prospered. The Bible says, in regards to Joseph, and the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Yes, Joseph is a type of Jesus, our Lord. The more we put him in charge of our life, the more God will prosper us. So write that down. Take a picture with your phone. Make a screenshot of this. Allow Christ to rule in your life, and you'll be able to get through this pandemic. The second one is,
God works all things together for good to them that love him.
Yes, I know this is a pat answer, a cliche. People say to others when they are going through trouble and hard times, they use this particular verse, which we're going to read in a minute. But I believe it's biblical. And that's why I'm going to teach it. God is sovereign. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe, and he causes all things to work together to accomplish his purpose. We don't always understand. I don't understand. No matter how things may appear, God is causing all things to work together for the eternal good of those who love him. The Bible says, and we have it here, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. God has shown Joseph that one day he would be exalted. And we're going to see that. What does the verse say here?
But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows.
So, dear brothers and sisters and friends who are watching this on YouTube, God loves you. God loves you. You know, as I said, Joseph's life is an illustration of this. God had shown Joseph that one day he would be exalted, that his brothers and even his father and mother would bow down to him. Yet, when he was 17, his brothers sold him as a slave. For 13 whole years, Joseph was severely tested. Yes, he was put into prison, in irons, in chains, for a crime he didn't commit. It seems as though God had forgotten him. But all the time, God was with him, preparing him to be the ruler of Egypt and to be the savior of his family. Now, the third point is very important also.
God wants us to know the love of Christ so that we might have complete confidence in him.
God forgave his brothers, brought them and their family to Egypt and cared for them in the best way possible. Yet when their father Jacob died, they were fearful that Joseph would punish them for what they did to him. They went in and fell at Joseph's feet and begged him to forgive them. You know, Joseph wept. He'd wept because they didn't know his love for them. They knew his care and goodness for them, but they did not know his heart. And I want you to know God's heart. God loves you. Joseph comforted them and assured them that he would take care of them and their little ones. Many believers have enjoyed Christ's goodness to them for years, but they don't know his heart. This grieves the Lord.
If we allow Christ to rule in our life, we can get through these troublesome times.
God works all things together for good to them that love him.
God wants us to know the love of Christ so that we might have complete confidence in him.
Yes, there is problems. And there's another story in Acts chapter 8 about Stephen. And there's problems today. If we look in Acts chapter 8 very quickly, Saul was in total agreement with putting Stephen to death. That's a problem. A great persecution, it says in verse 1 of Acts 8, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. That's a problem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea. As for Saul, it says in verse 3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every home, dragging men and women, committing them to prison. Persecution is not my favorite topic. We may endure a little mockery at school or sarcasm at the office, some ruffled feathers in our neighborhood, but these people were in problem times. But you know, what came out of that? What came out of this man dying? Well, joy. Another example is the story of the joy. When Philip allowed God to walk with him during his troublesome times, great things happened quickly. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the miracle signs he did, They all paid close attention to what he said. Evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. And what does it say in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8? So there was great joy in the city. Paul responded, Philip responded, in spite of his problem with obeying to faith. He obeyed. He obeyed. Philip obeyed. And look what became of it. At the end of the passage, it says there was great joy in the city. To translate the original Greek, it was a mega joy. They had a gigantic, overwhelming joy. The best days of your life kept of joy, kind of joy. This can happen to us too. Yes, we mustn't lose hope. So how can we apply this to ourselves? What is our takeaway from my message this morning? First, the example of Joseph. Then the example of Saul and Philip and Stephen. We see difficult times that produce difficult results, but at the same time, good came out of them. We saw the church in Jerusalem literally scattered, the church scattered, but we had worldwide evangelism. Philip's experience led to great joy, joy that we as Christians can experience, even though tough times such as the pandemic is upon us now. Let's not lose hope, dear brothers and sisters and friends. Let's not lose hope, but find joy in knowing that Jesus loves us and cares, knowing that all things do work for good to those who love God and are willing to accept his plan and purpose for their life. Let's encourage one another and stay strong, to stay close to the Lord and trust him whatever the future may bring. You know, everything is going to be all right. My two granddaughters have prepared just a one-minute clip here to close off this message.
Everything will be all right. Throw the rest out, yeah. The world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquered every fear.
Encouraged and challenged by that last song my grandchildren prepared for you. Let me read the words just before I close in a word of prayer. Everything will be all right. There's a man who calms all your fears and love that makes the pain disappear. He keeps his promise and takes care of me. He's the anchor of my faith. He's my guarantee. Everything will be all right. The world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquers every fear. The world is in his hand, and everything will be all right. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, use this message, and we'll give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, at this time, we're going to enter into a time of offering. In communion, we celebrate and we remember what Jesus the Christ did for us, what he accomplished for us on the cross, where Jesus went up and he took all of what humanity, what Satan meant for evil, and he turned it into something good. Our good, our salvation. For anyone who puts their trust in Jesus and everything he claimed to be, Jesus promises to save us from our sin, from our wretchedness, from our slavery to sin, from death, from Satan, all of it. He saves us and he brings us into his family. And so in communion, we take bread and we take juice, bread symbolic of his body that was broken so we could be made whole, made one with God, reunited with God. And we take juice symbolic of his blood which was shed so that we could be washed clean, so that we could be part of his people, so that we could actually share this good news. And so, hey, right now, I encourage you to prepare your elements, the bread and the juice, and take some time together as a family or as a community group or whatever you might be to take this bread together. And allow me to quickly pray. God, I give you thanks for the gift of your salvation. We thank you for your death and your resurrection, that you conquered Satan's sin and death. And in taking this bread and this juice, we feast with you, Lord. Would you meet us now in this moment?